Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
After 13 years of marriage, we're still unbelievably in love.
Who is she?
I'm his wife.
I love you.
Scarlett.
I love you, I do.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, when you think about it, marriage is really a fairly simple concept. I mean, one woman married to one man, joined in holy matrimony for the rest of their lives together. While there's absolutely nothing wrong with staying single, I believe there are also tremendous benefits for being married. I know I have certainly benefited from my marriage to Kathy for the past 32 years. Well, traditional marriage offers a sense of security, stability, exclusivity, and permanence that no other relationship on the earth can provide. Well, during the next half hour, I'll be talking with Dr. Willard Harley, Jr. He's the author of an outstanding book on marriage called His Needs, Her Needs. And today he joins me for a conversation about defending traditional marriage. So stay with us right here on Homeward.
Marriage isn't easy. It takes work, but with a little bit of intentionality and following the traditional principles laid out in Scripture, you can have a very fulfilling marriage. On today's edition of Homeward, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns will talk with marriage expert Willard Harley. They'll be discussing principles in defense of traditional marriage. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and congratulations to our friends here at APU, moving up in the world a little bit from Division III to Division II in the NCAA now. And you'll hear more about that in the weeks to come. And now here's Dr. Jim Burns with part one of today's program.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Willard Harley, Jr., PhD, clinical psychologist, marriage counselor, best known as the author of the internationally best-selling book, His Needs, Her Needs, Building an Affair-Proof Marriage. Welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, we're talking about in defense of traditional marriage, and you've written a book called Defending Traditional Marriage. It starts with you, you say. And what was fascinating for me is as I look through the book, it has some politics in it, but it also has just some really good basic marriage thoughts in it as well. Did you try to do it that way?
Yeah, basically, I've been working politically on the subject of marriage now for the last 5 years, trying to change legislation in our state of Minnesota. And you become more and more aware of the fact that each family, each couple, has to be aware of what's going on politically to defend their little family, protect them from the onslaught that is going on both legally and culturally.
First of all, give me an understanding of what traditional marriage is. Give us a definition.
Well, I start out with the wedding vows that I'm most familiar with. From my perspective, a traditional marriage has four components. The first and most important, from the way I look at marriage, is extraordinary care. We promise to love and cherish each other. And then there is till death do us part, permanence. That's the second characteristic. The third is that we will be faithful. There will be no other. We will have sexual exclusivity in our marriage. And then the wedding vows talk about a husband and a wife, a man and a woman, one man, one woman. That's the fourth characteristic. So it's extraordinary care that is permanent, that is sexually exclusive between one man and one woman. And that is the way we have viewed traditional marriage for a couple thousand years now.
You know, Dr. Harley, when it comes to giving extraordinary care to one another, how do you help couples foster this when we live in a culture that really motivates look out for number one, look out for our own interests?
We have seen that particular aspect of marriage erode probably from the 40s on, and there has been a tremendous amount of work in colleges and universities to train our college graduates into thinking that the most important goal in life is to be happy and to do whatever you can to satisfy your own personal needs, even if it's at the expense of others. And it's had a devastating effect on extraordinary care, which in turn has a devastating effect on marriage itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about permanence, there's a second one What are some of the latest statistics telling us about the success rate of traditional marriages in America?
Well, the latest that we know about is 43%, and it's sort of settled in at that. However, marriages are declining. There is an argument that could be made that with marriages declining, you'd expect that they'd be better and better, and yet the divorce rate is not declining along with that. So the basic idea is that in spite of the fact that people are trying to be more careful in who they marry, the divorce rate still sticks at 43%. Then another point I hasten to mention is that 20% of all marriages end in permanent separation. So these are people that, for all intents and purposes, are also divorced. So now we're up to 65%.
And that's a statistic that we don't hear much about.
We don't. There's from my perspective, it's one out of five that are successful. One out of five marriages
are successful. Isn't that something? And when you think about it, the other thing that we don't talk much about, you're thinking about it, but we don't talk much about it, is that there are people who live together for their entire lives, but they really do not have much of a successful marriage either. Yeah. Actually, you've had an impact in my life, and let me tell you what happened. Now, when your book, His Needs, Her Needs, came out, my wife bought the book. I didn't even know she had bought the book. I'd not heard of the book. And at our anniversary is May 11th, and every time right around there, we go away, and 1 year she takes responsibility for it, 1 year I take it, where we're going to go, and also we're going to have a conversation about marriage. We're going to reevaluate our marriage. So this time, we are in Lake Arrowhead, California, and I have no idea what we're going to do. She got the bed and breakfast and the whole bit. She takes me out on the lake in a boat, in a rowboat, and she hands me a piece of paper, and it has all the needs that you have. And she said, rank order the needs on the left-hand side of what you think are my needs, and then rank order what your needs are on the right-hand side. I have never even heard of your book. I've never even thought about this. And I'm more worried about the fact that I don't have a hat on my bald head and I'm going to get sunburned in the middle of this lake. So we rank order this. And for 3 hours, we had a conversation about our needs. Kathy was dead right on my needs. I was not perfect on her needs. And it became a conversation piece that literally we use as a tool to this day.
There are many people who have agreed with each other as a life goal to read His Needs, Her Needs every January 1st.
It's really a good idea.
They start out the year and just reminding themselves of what the other guy needs and what they've got to keep in mind. And it's largely because, and this is the main point of His Needs, Her Needs, is that what you need most in marriage is probably not what your spouse needs most. Right. And so lacking empathy, you're going to have to pay a lot of attention to what your spouse is telling you they need and get to be good at it.
Well, do you see this is one of the problems? I know that people will say to me, well, my husband is just supposed to know what I need. And I say, well, why don't you tell your husband? Well, he's just supposed to know that. I mean, so sometimes they won't even explain it because they're just supposed to know. They'll talk about that with romance.
Or that they've explained it 50 times already and figure that he should have figured it out by now.
Right.
And this is why repetition is important. This is why we go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Because even though we've heard it before, we need to be reminded.
But when we talk about needs, you talk in your book about intimate needs. Talk to me a little bit about intimacy and how affection and sexual fulfillment, companionship, things like that relate to it.
Yeah, well, we talk in His Needs, Her Needs about 10 needs, mm-hmm. but four of them I put a tremendous amount of emphasis on. As a matter of fact, I tell people that they need to spend 15 hours a week for the rest of their lives when they're alone with each other, meeting these four needs.
Yeah, I know you said that in the book, and then do they groan?
These four needs. Everybody thinks that that's an impossible objective. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And one of the things that I point out is that people that have great marriages are doing that.
Right.
And if you want to have a great marriage, mm-hmm. you better start today. Yeah. So the four needs are affection, mm-hmm. which is letting the other person know you love them. It's symbols of mm-hmm. care, hugs, kisses, courtesies. Mm-hmm. The second is sexual fulfillment, which most men would associate with intimacy.
Right.
And the third is intimate conversation, which is what most women would associate with intimacy. And then the fourth, which is something that a lot of men and women don't think about, but whenever you're dating, you're doing, is recreational companionship,
right.
making sure that your spouse is your favorite recreational partner.
Right.
And so you put those four together on a single date, and you have a very romantic experience.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, it's a very bonding experience. Let's talk about intimate conversation, because like you say, a lot of times a woman goes right to that wanting of an intimate conversation, and a man's
idea of intimacy sometimes is more on the sexual fulfillment. How do you help a man become a person who can have more intimate conversation with their wife?
Well, you know, first of all, I point out to both the husband and wife that if they want their emotional need met, which for women is usually affection and intimate conversation, and men is sexual fulfillment, recreational companionship, they have to be good at meeting the other person's intimate emotional needs. And so the idea of combining them, I tell people not to take shortcuts. Don't do something that you think will get you through the day because you don't have much time and you're gonna have to get your emotional needs met. And so you only think of your own as important. And that's a shortcut, but it's not really a shortcut because it doesn't get the job done.
Boy, that is
so you gotta do all four of them simultaneously. And both men and women will tell me that in order to do what the other guy needs turns out to be a waste of time. They think it's not important, but it's only unimportant because it's not their need. See, and so what I do is I make them do it. I assign it. Whenever we have workshops or anything, I tell them that they have to go home. They have to meet these four intimate emotional needs at least three or four times a week in blocks of 3 or 4 hours. And they end the week saying it's one of the best weeks they've had.
I'm absolutely convinced that. We're going to take a break. We're coming right back. And when we come back, I want to ask you, what do you say to the mom who's absolutely exhausted? She's got a mortgage and she's got a couple of kids running around the house and she's so tired. When you just said 3 or 4 hours, she said, my goodness, I don't have 3 or 4 minutes or even 30 minutes to do this. Although I believe what you're saying, you know, help me find the time. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
And we hope you'll stay with us through the break for more of this most important conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. You're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and his conversation with Willard Harley. They're talking about Defending Traditional Marriage. That's the name of a book that Willard and his wife Joyce have written. He's also written many other great books on marriage, including the classic work His Needs, Her Needs. And he and Joyce have a new devotional coming out not too long from now called Draw Closer. You'll be hearing more about that on this program as well. Homeward is here to equip you with the resources that you need. Go to homeward.com for more information on that. Check out our online resource center today, homeward.com.
I think the red dress is kind of snug.
Mm-hmm.
But the blue dress doesn't really look right this time of year.
Either one is fine with me.
Oh, I can't make up my mind.
Then why don't you buy another dress?
I'm not talking about the dress. I'm saying I'm feeling fat.
Well, why is it that husbands and wives have such a hard time trying to communicate with each other? Well, listening is only half the battle. The key to effective communication involves really hearing what your spouse is trying to communicate with you. Listen with a non-judgmental attitude, and that's a tough one. Make eye contact with your spouse when they're talking with you, and how about showing appreciation that your spouse is confiding in you? As you begin using these principles when you communicate with your spouse, you're on your way to creating an intimate marriage, a marriage where each spouse feels cared for and that at least one other person in the world is always there to listen. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, and for a free copy of my new tip sheet, Creating an Intimate Marriage, go to homeward.com. Right before the break, Dr. Harley, you were talking about the fact that spend 3 hours doing wonderful moments of affection and sexual fulfillment and intimate conversation and the rest. I'm just afraid that there's somebody saying, 3 hours, I don't have 30 minutes to do this. What do you suggest to them if they want to still have a good marriage?
Yeah, I usually point out to people that it's a part-time job.
Yeah.
It's a part-time job that'll be your favorite thing to do every week once you get the hang of it. Yeah. It is worth $1,000 an hour. It's going to make you happy, healthy. It's going to keep you bonded to each other. It's going to preserve your relationship with the Lord. It's also going to make you great parents. Mm-hmm. It is an extremely valuable time of the week. And you have 112 hours to budget. Okay. And aside from the time that you spend in prayer and the time you spend meditating on God's Word, this will be the most valuable time that you'll spend. It's more valuable than the money you earn. So once I get people into the routine of doing this, what I discover is that they end up spending 20 hours a week, yeah. 25 hours a week.
Yeah.
And because they realize how valuable it is to their health, their happiness, and to the productivity in every other area.
Interesting enough, because you mentioned parenting. So many people say, you know, you want to do a good job parenting, love your spouse. And it means you really do have to invest. And this means that you have to move from being kind of a child-focused marriage to a spouse-focused marriage. And that's what you're saying when you're talking about investing that kind of time.
The best decisions you will make as a parent are decisions that you make together, that you make jointly. And those decisions are more likely to be made when you're bonded to each other and when you're in love with each other. One of the worst things you could do to your children is to get a divorce. And you risk a divorce if you lose the bond that you had when you were first married. And so the point that I always make is that that 15 hours is not only going to turn out to be the best 15 hours of your week, but it's insurance. Mm-hmm. It's insurance against a divorce. Mm-hmm. And it's insurance that you will be great parents for your children by not being with your children 15 hours a week, exactly. But being together.
you'll be more effective with your
exactly.
kids. Well, what's fascinating about it is, I would imagine most anyone, and I realize there's abuse issues and there's other types of things, but for most normal people, if they would do this, their marriage would be really solid and satisfying, as opposed to trying to make it happen on just a few moments of communication within the week.
Well, this is it. I've been to a lot of places where people have said that they recommend a date night once a yeah. month. And my argument has always been that that'll never fly. I mean, right. it's not enough. It's not enough. What it does is it just kind of whets your appetite, and it leaves people more frustrated than anything. 15 hours a week really sort of does the job, and people don't really need a whole lot more, and they do need that much. In other words, if you have only 10 hours, a lot of people still face disappointment.
Let's be as practical as we can. In those 15 hours, obviously there's sexual fulfillment, and that's for another topic sometime. But in terms of the spending time, is this going on walks? Is this going out on dates? What would you suggest would be great ways for them to build on those four areas?
Well, you need to think about all four of these needs. In terms of the way you structure your 15 hours, I had a fellow tell me just this last week that he says, I think I get what you're trying to get us to do. You're trying to get us to do what we did when we were dating.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, exactly.
Yeah.
You were talking to each other intimately. You were affectionate with each other. Mm-hmm. You may not have been making love to each other, but you were thinking about it.
Right.
And you were certainly doing things recreationally with right. each other. And the basic idea is that it is a date. It's like a date. And a date, when before you were married, had to last about 3 or 4 hours, or it wasn't much of a date. And this is what you've got to do, only you've got to do it several times a week. This fellow that called me, who is a workaholic, works about 80, 90 hours a week, last week had his first 15 hours yeah. that he actually put in. And if he does this 3 or 4 weeks in a row, he'll get the hang of it. Yeah. His wife has already been ecstatic right. about the change in their relationship.
Right. And you know what? It seems like there could be almost instant change when you invest that kind of time and energy.
For some there is, for some I have to keep pushing them
yeah. Yeah.
until they see the change.
Right.
But it is something that people that have been through my programs have told me that the most important thing they've learned about marriage is that unless they put that kind of time in on intimate emotional needs, right. those needs won't get met. And their marriage will never experience the romantic love that I have as a goal for every married couple.
Boy, isn't that a great idea? Now, of course, when you're talking about 15 hours, males' needs are different than females' needs. So a male thinks 14 of that should be sexual fulfillment, and the female wants 14 hours of intimate conversation. How do you adjust to that?
Most men can't handle that much time.
I'm teasing with you, but a man can think about that. In your book, Defending Traditional Marriage, you talk about love busters. Talk about those.
Well, the love busters is the opposite of meeting emotional needs. It's not the failure to meet emotional needs. It's a whole new category of things. Hmm. In other words, you can make your spouse happy by meeting emotional needs, but you can make your spouse very unhappy by doing an assortment of things that are very different than emotional needs. There are 6 categories that I think I can put just about every unpleasant experience into in marriage, and I call them love busters because that's what they do. They destroy a couple's love for each other.
What are a couple of love busters?
Well, they fall into essentially 2 major categories. One is the love busters that go on when you have an argument. Demands, disrespect, and anger. Those are the first 3 I usually talk about, and I say that if you do any one of those 3, you're going to lose your love for each other, and you're not going to solve your problems. These are problem-solving strategies that are seriously flawed. Don't make demands. Don't be disrespectful. Don't get angry with each other. The fourth is dishonesty. It's a characteristic that we are all born with. We're all born to be dishonest, and we have to train ourselves to be honest the way the Lord wants us to be honest. There is a fifth category of annoying habits that men seem to have much more often than women.
You've been talking to my wife. Again.
Yes.
Come on.
And we could have a whole show on that, I'm sure. And then the sixth category is what I call independent behavior, which is making choices without considering your spouse's feelings. Thinking of yourself, but not your spouse. We as married partners are in a relationship where everything we do affects the other person. And unless we ask the other person specifically, how would you feel if I were to do such and such? We are likely to engage in a love buster. We're likely to do something that will upset the other person. And so all of our decisions should be made jointly with the other person's feelings in mind so that we can be happy and our spouse can be happy simultaneously.
That is great input. Our time has gone by so fast. I've got to ask you back again.
I'd be delighted.
Great, because we have a lot more conversations to do. And actually, I have a real concern for the defense of the traditional marriage. And I know you have some concerns, too. And in the next program, I want to talk a little bit more about that. But thank you. What you've done is you've given us hope, because if we do these kinds of things, then our marriages are going to get better. And I appreciate you being a person of hope.
Thank you.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author Willard Harley here on the Homeward Broadcast. In defense of traditional marriage has been our theme, and traditional marriage has come under fire so much over the past couple of years in our culture, even since this interview was recorded a couple of years ago at the Christian Retail Show in Denver, Colorado. And we are so grateful that Dr. Willard Harley has been a part of our ministry in terms of speaking into the marriage component. Books like His Needs, Her Needs, and their new devotional book he and his wife Joyce have written called Draw Close. Jim, this is a conversation that it's tough for us to get our arms around sometimes, and yet this is an issue that I'm glad that we're having this conversation. I know many of our listeners are grateful as well.
And I think it's important for everyone to understand the value of marriage, to preserve the integrity of this institution. I feel like he did a really good job, as well as just gave us some great input on marriage.
Indeed.
I also think we're wise to remember that a quality marriage is the optimum factor for raising secure children. It has often been said that the best thing you can do for your children is to love your spouse. Well, sometimes that means putting your spouse's needs before even your children's needs. And I know that sounds almost selfish or weird, but it really is, I think, the way that you go with it. As we conclude today's time together, I want you to think about the quality of your own marriage relationship right now. And if it's feeling a bit stale or routine, well, here are a couple of tips for putting some spark back into your marriage. Number one, think about the things that you and your spouse enjoyed while you were dating. Reflect on those dates that were actually special and had lots of fun, and then start having some of those dates all over again. Now, Kathy and I, not too long ago, went to Disneyland. I don't think the last time we went to Disneyland without our girls, and we live in Orange County, where
right.
Disneyland is, was probably before they were born.
Oh,
so
my
it's
goodness.
Been 20-plus years. But we went to Disneyland. My brother actually works there, so uh-huh. I got free tickets. I put him in a special little package for Kathy, so it was a gift. I'm pretty cheap since it was free, but you know she knew that. And then we had the best time. We held hands on the rides. We ate fun junk food. And you know what? It was really a good thing. Well, we went back to what we used to love to do.
Yes.
It was free then as well for uh-huh. us. And it really was something special. And so what we're trying to do in our own life is rediscover some of those things that we did in dating that was so fun that really drew us together. So if you're not having fun with your spouse, then do some of the things that you know brought you back together. Then also, secondly, is ask yourself what you are currently doing to make your spouse feel special. And if that list is pretty short, we'll start adding to it. When you invest yourself spiritually and emotionally and relationally and even physically into the life of your spouse, well, you stand to benefit as well. So don't hold back, but make your spouse feel special. Do something special today, just a small little thing, and it'll absolutely make a difference.
Certainly will. It's the little things that really add up. And Jim, the word I'm hearing you and was hearing from Dr. Willard Harley talking about too is intentionality. And that's one of the messages that we preach here at Homeward, regardless of the relationship you're talking about. Today we're discussing marriage, but we know that in the parent, family, and child world, the marriage that's intact and strong and thriving and growing stronger is going to have a benefit on the kids involved as well. That's why we recommend Dr. Willard Harley's books, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Closer, the devotional book he wrote with his wife, Kathy, also their book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, also very helpful. Get the marriage resources that you need. Don't wait. Don't sit on the sidelines. Be proactive. And if you need help in finding those resources, we encourage you to visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. If you're not there already, it's easy to use, absolutely free. There's no subscription at all. Just go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.